Hood Scholars.
Hey, yo, what's going on? It's your boy, Lord Outline. You are now tuning into another episode of Hood Scholars. And today, we got my dog all the way from DMV, Baltimore to be exact. Yeah. Tate Cobain.
Yep.
For sure, man. For those that don't know you, please introduce yourself real quick. Tell these people what Cobain mean.
Cobain acronym for King of Baltimore, niggas, girls. Tate, the name my mother gave me for real, as a youngin', for real. She used to call me Tater here and shit, but yeah, man, you know, Northeast Baltimore, 28, you know.
Yeah. For sure. I heard you used to get busy though.
No, man, not me, man. I be chillin'.
Okay, that's all right. So how old are you?
28.
Speaking of that, man, you got a project called 28, right?
Yeah. 28 was probably like two projects ago.
Yeah, most recently, you just released Road on My Body, right?
Road on My Body.
What was the inspiration behind that project?
Road on My Body was just mainly about, you know, I got all the things that I love in life tattooed on me. You feel me? All the things that matters the most, for real. I got them wrote on my body, not just a bunch of unnecessary, irrelevant shit, for real. Everything that matters to me, everything that I die for, everything that's my motivation, for real. Everything wrote on my body.
Well, how many tattoos would you say that you have? It's crazy like that, guys.
I say probably like 22, maybe 22.
20. When was the last time that you got ink?
The last tattoo I got. Damn, that's crazy. Matter of fact, the last tattoo I got was the 28 logo I got on my chest.
Okay.
Was the last
tattoo. So 28 is a significant number for you?
Yeah, 28, my birthday April 28th, and my brother YG Beats, his birthday is also April 28th, so it just
made sense. Perfect.
Yeah, so we just like, you know, it's a hard number, ain't nobody really used it, and the meaning behind the number 28 is more life. And that's just, being from Baltimore, that's something we just want to see. You feel me? Nobody I grew up with made it past 25.
Are you a religious person?
Yeah, definitely. Christianity.
Okay, for sure.
Definitely. Came up in the church, was on the choir and all that stuff. So
you were singing?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So you've been having vocals since a young one?
For a while. I used to play the saxophone. It was just always there. You feel me? It was just a matter of time. So.
Okay. Speaking of that, I know being from Baltimore, you're from Baltimore, correct, right?
Yep.
Being from Baltimore, you know, you guys are influenced by a lot of different sounds, right? From all across the whole entire world. What were some of the sounds that influenced you coming up? I know you said that you were in choir, but what are some of the other sounds that influenced you coming up in that area?
Man, mainly club music, Baltimore club music, and that's really it for real.
Keep writing that down for people around the world, because I know a lot of people are not in tune to Baltimore club music. It's a whole different type of
music. Yeah, Baltimore club music is just a heavy bass, heavy 808, and that's really it. Just a couple of sounds. It's just all sounds and noise, for real, that just all go together, for real. That's why all of my beats sound the way that they do. My songs, I understand the sound of inside of clubs and just what make people dance, for real. So that's why my music worked the way that it do, for real. So.
Did you always have aspirations of being an artist?
Yeah, that was really it, man. Like, my uncles, my cousins was rappers. My grandmother was on the choir. My little sister, she was doing acting coming up in school. She was in musicals and all of that stuff. I used to tap dance. I played the sax. And I used to write songs back when I was like 7. Like, I was writing raps, for real. And so it just really ain't had no choice. Like, it was all there. It just ain't had no choice.
Okay. So let's go back a little bit. You know, take us back to 2013. You know, Bankroll Remix is going absolutely crazy, right? So you dropped that in the wake of Freddie Gray's passing, right?
Gray's passing and the riots and my mom's birthday is all on the same day.
What inspired you to decide to drop a piece of music during, you know, such an emotionally stressful time just for you and the city, you know what I'm saying? Because you was going through your own personal things, but there was so much going on in the city as well.
Like I said, man, Baltimore, we known to move. Like, we dancers, you feel me? And that's when I feel like everybody's at their happiest point. You feel me? When they dancing. So, you feel me? Just needed something to make people move. If you're moving, you happy, you know? So, it was one of those anthems. And just wanted to put some type of light and happiness back in the city because we needed it. You feel me? I needed it personally. Mm. But the city definitely needed it. So, you feel me?
How does it feel, you know, 7 years later, I seen that you recently posted today on your Instagram about the gentleman that just passed, Floyd, rest in peace to him. So how does it feel, you know, you just being in a position where you've grown so much, but it just seems like it's the same devils and stuff like that affecting our community. So, like, what's your outlook on that?
Honestly, Freddie Gray wasn't the first, and Lloyd won't be the last. You feel me? It's a real unfortunate reality and truth, for real. But I mean, it's been back and forth for years. You feel me? What's the day? The 27th. On the 26th, a police officer got shot in Baltimore and Fair Hill, or Fells Point. It was one of them. Either Fair Hill or Fells Point. They just shot an officer. A 15-year-old just got shot in the face last week. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's normal to us. You feel me? So it's like, that was just the first time that it actually reached a platform for it to be acknowledged. But other than that, that's normal. That's normal. Like in Bankrolls, I shot my man Pistol Pete out. You know what I mean? He got killed by the police. You know what I mean? It's we used to it. Unfortunately, we get to a point where none of this stuff surprises or really impacts us because we're so used to it. You feel me? Now, give it about 3-4 days, unfortunately, it's on to the next. To the next thing. On to the next situation.
You know, enough about the sad stuff. During that time, Bankrolls, when you did initially drop the song, you know, it was a lot of good stuff going on as well. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was kind of like the rose that grew out of the concrete because you end up, you know, crossing paths with 300 Entertainment, Kevin Lyles, and stuff of that nature. So, how was it running into, like, how did you even get on Kevin Lyles' radar? Because I know he's originally from Baltimore, right?
Nah, he was married into Baltimore.
Okay.
Yeah, his wife from Baltimore. But, yeah, that's really what it was. The record was going crazy, and they reached out. And at first, I thought it was Chief Keef. Like, I'm like, 300? Like,
I'm from Baltimore.
Chief Keef wanna sign me? Like, what you mean? Like, you know, hey, fuck it, let's take the meeting. That's Sosa, you know? Like, bitches.
So you didn't even know it was Lyles until you got into New York?
Yo, I did not know. I did not know until we got to New York. I was expecting Chief Keef and I met Leo Cohen.
Did you know who Leo Cohen was at the time?
Yeah, I knew who Leo Cohen was, but yeah, it threw me for
so how did how what was that like? Because it's like, okay, you was already about to meet Chief Keef, which is cool enough in his own sense, but then it's just like to meet a bigger dog, like.
Yeah, it was weird. I walked in the office and Leo was in a room by himself with glass windows on a conference call, and I was walking past and I guess he already knew who I was, so he like did like this out the window so I wouldn't go nowhere. And he was like, I'm about to end my call. And he called me in, and I walked in, and he was sitting Indian style in a computer chair with no shoes and socks on. It was like the weirdest shit, like the weirdest rich nigga shit I ever seen in my life. So, you know, it was cool, though. It was cool.
Fans, what's your current label situation?
I got my team, 28. We all signed to Sony ATV as writers and producers. You know, Pusha T put that together for us, and we just been going crazy. Me, YG Beats, Mills Douglas, Gennaro Beats. YG just went platinum with the record with another artist from Baltimore. So, you know, that's good. He's going crazy, and we got a lot of stuff coming out, man. But as far as me as an artist, I'm chilling, man. I wouldn't even do that to myself again right now. I'm going to relax for a second, you know. It's been like 5 years of bullshit, so I'm going to chill out.
Yeah, you gotta let it breathe real quick.
Man.
Let it breathe real quick. You know, majority of your fans support you because of your artistry, you know what I'm saying? A lot of them don't even know that you do a lot of songwriting. So can you give us just a little bit of a brief backstory as to how you got into that? And how did you end up being so successful?
Like, I was just getting the best of both worlds, like the best of all the worlds coming up for real. Like I said, like my uncle and my cousin was rapping. So my uncle Quentin, he put me on with Wu-Tang and, you know what I mean, and shit like that, UGK and all of that stuff, and 50 Cent. And then my mother, she was the R&B, you feel me? That's why Carl Thomas is my favorite artist, you know? She put me on with the Carls and the 112s and all of the stuff like that. Then my grandmother was church, you know what I mean? Church and gospel and jazz and all that stuff. So she was putting all of that in when I was with her, you feel me? So it was just all there, and I was just soaking it all in for real. And then as I got older, I started really getting more in depth with it myself. And it just was there, so I can understand sonically. Like, I went to school for it, you feel me? When I moved to, my mother moved us to York, Pennsylvania, went to high school at Central York High, and I went to music tech classes and piano classes and all that, and theater arts classes and all that shit for real. And I really, it just taught me how to do the breakdown of everything. So between what I was born into and what I learned, it was just, everything just went perfect. So, and I'm just, my improv, my freestyling is just like crazy. So I don't even write records. Like whatever I feel in that moment, whatever I feel when I first hear the beat, you feel me, it's just where it need to go. Whatever they call for, I just do for real. So it's just perfect. We get a 5-hour studio session, I leave with 50 records for real. We don't waste no time.
It's going to slap crazy.
Yeah.
Were you ever hesitant to, accept the role of being a songwriter because you were already an artist?
Every day.
Okay.
Every day.
Can you talk about that a little bit?
I don't know. It's like I was born for music all around, like the arts all around. But, you know, having people constantly hit my phone for records for other motherfuckers. You feel me? Like, why is such and such hitting me for records for his artist so he can put him, you know I mean, so he can blow up instead of just fucking with me. You feel me? Like, clearly, I got
the sauce.
Right. You feel me? Like, you coming to me for yo when I'm just, like, everything right here. You feel me? That be the thing. But at the same time, it's a much easier and quicker flip. You feel me? Because I got kids. And I've lost a lot of people, and I seen how fast life can just snatch up from under you, so I don't want to miss a second with them. So I'd rather, you feel me, write and reap the same benefits without the headaches. You feel me? Like, I can travel with my kids, and you feel me? It's a little too late, you feel me? Because I can't even go to the malls in Baltimore without, you know, the mall security being there, you feel me? Like, and for crowd control type shit and pictures, I can't take my kids out. You know what I mean? And all that shit, it just be too much, you feel me? But at the same time, it's like, I want to still be in it, but just not that part. That shit, it become too much.
Yeah.
It become too much.
I did it, man. Bro, like, you strong, though, because, like, you're literally responsible for more than a dozen people. Because you have how many siblings?
It's about 6 or 7 of
them. And then you have 5 of your own children, right?
I got 7 of my own.
7 of your own, and then another 6, 7.
Yeah.
So that's
and
more.
That's not even counting my nieces and nephews.
Yeah. Oh yeah. So talk about, you know, at 21 you became the legal guardian for a lot of your siblings, all of your siblings, right?
No, just 3. 2.
2. So what was the pressure of that? And when did you have your first child?
I had my first child in 9th grade.
So you had children, you had to take on your siblings as well.
Yeah, I had to cut my mom's passed away for real.
Rest in peace.
Yeah, man, that shit was a crazy one.
This last project was kind of dedicated to her, right?
Yeah, okay, yeah. For sure. It's actually crazy because my mom's birthday is April 19th, mine's April 28th. She died April 27th, and then my father passed a couple months later for real, you feel me, the same year. So shit was just... It was just back to back for a nigga, you feel me? It was just wild. But, I mean, like, me being the oldest of my mom's kids, you know what I'm saying? Shit, like, I just had to be there, you feel me? Even to this day. Like,
no choice.
Like, yeah, like, they ain't got no choice, you feel me? And, you know what I mean? It was, I'm, I can't say I'm glad that I had to do that, but it helped me, you feel me? It matured me fast, and it put my head on straight, you feel me? And it just showed me that, like, bro, you can't stop.
What was some of your toughest times during all of that, before, you know, breaking through? Because I know even after breaking through, it was a time before you had, like, you break through, then you got, like, really break through, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, before that bad comes, so, like, what was some of the toughest times?
Shit, man, still being homeless. Like, we're still homeless with kids. You feel me? That shit right there, that shit break you down as a everything. As a man, a father, a boyfriend, an artist, you feel me? Because I don't know about everybody else, but I can't work, like, with a clouded mind and heart, you feel me? Like, it makes shit worse and harder for me, you feel me? Like, if shit ain't right, my mind is not on music. My mind is on this bag. That's when niggas start getting in trouble. That's when, you know what I mean, niggas is doing whatever niggas got to do, you feel me? Like, man, my kids was in York, Pennsylvania, you feel me? Homeless, bro, in the snow, you feel me? Sleeping at fucking bed bug infested hotels and shit, you feel me? Baby mother, she got lupus and all of this shit, you feel me? So her health fucked up. Kids, they, I mean, it's just, shit was too much. Nigga wasn't working. Was outside in the snow trying to get jobs and shit like that, you feel me? So it was just, and anything involving hardship and them kids was like, be worse for me, you feel me? Because a nigga feel like the lowest, like the bottom.
I feel like that's what make you go the hardest, though.
Yeah, 100%.
That's what make you go the hardest.
Ain't got no choice. Them kids ain't doing nothing but getting older.
How old is your oldest?
Shit, I wouldn't even lie to you. She in fifth grade, though.
For sure.
That's like...
She moving on to middle school next year?
Yep.
Okay. That's all right, man. So you've been at it for a little minute now.
Yeah.
But now it's about to get serious.
It's about to get technical. That's what it's going to get. I ain't buying nothing but guns and bullets. That's it. Fuck that shit. Like, nah, I can't do it, bro. I know what I was doing in sixth grade.
Yeah.
So,
Are you still located in Baltimore? I know it's an exciting city. Have you ever thought about relocating?
Yeah, I thought about it. I moved out to the county, though.
Okay.
I'm cool.
Out the way.
Yeah, you feel me?
For sure.
Yeah, I mean, but I definitely want to move to L.A.
Okay.
I want to move to L.A. I know it's expensive as hell, but the work is there. You feel me? Like,
there's so many artists.
Everybody go to L.A. to work on their album, so... I mean, just need to be in the mix.
For sure, man. Let's get into a little bit of this music, man. So you dropped "Road on My Body," you know, last month, right?
Yeah.
What was your favorite song from the project?
Honestly, my favorite song, "It Should Have Been Me." "Should Have Been Me" is not at all what people expect from me, but it's me. You feel me? Like I said, I came up with the R&B and the jazz and all that shit, but I can do everything. You feel me? Like, I'm like, we everywhere. You feel me? And it's like, I feel like you shouldn't have to look a certain way or dress a certain way. Yeah, to be able to do whatever type of music you want. You feel me? I shouldn't have to have on glittery pants to make a pop record, you feel me? I should be able to, you feel me? Like, that's my goal. I want to be that guy that opens that bridge for other guys, that I can do a pop record and still wear fitted caps and sag my jeans and tote guns. You feel me? And wear gold teeth and have dreads. You feel me? Not have to wear glittery pants and fucking... and. You know that,
yeah,
all
for
that
sure,
other
sure,
shit.
Sure,
you feel
sure,
me?
Sure,
like you feel sure. me? Cause it's just like, it's so much more money out there, and I just feel like society is putting a cap on what we can do as a black man and still be masculine. You feel me?
It's always you know, always a power struggle when it comes to, you know, masculinity of a black man for sure. Like, just
100%.
Anything, man. But look, man, what inspired you to drop a project in the midst of everything that was going on? Because you dropped that project smack dab in the middle of Corona.
Yeah.
Like, smack dab in the middle of Corona.
This is what's going on.
Why did you do that?
Honestly, what it was, man, we really been gearing up to drop my this single I'm about to start pushing. Me and K Camp called Remember, but Interscope wasn't trying to release or even clear any records until May. Or like end of May, early, you know what I mean? So
we was just right like, now, really.
Yeah, so that's we ready. We putting that together now.
Yeah, for sure.
But but I wanted to drop something on my birthday because usually I do an event for the less fortunate on my mother's birthday, and then I drop a project on my birthday. You feel me? But with all of this going on, we can't do that. But you know what I mean? So I was like, all right, well, while we waiting, let's get them a quick little body, and this project can also start ushering in me being able to do pop records. You feel me? Just sprinkle a little fitting all on the top. You feel me? Let them taste it. You know what I mean? So they like, oh, y'all can do that. Like, let's push that a little bit. So now when we drop that single with Nelly, you feel me? They ain't gonna be like, what the fuck is y'all doing? Oh God! Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I admire K Camp, bro. The nigga K Camp can drop Lottery and then come back and drop a full R&B album. You feel me? And niggas not flinch or not look at him crazy. You feel me? I just want us as a people to be able to, you feel me, broaden our horizons and just go crazy. Like, let's just do music, bro. Let's just make good fucking music.
What did the big homie Pusha T think about the project?
Oh, Push fuck with the project, man. He just, it was a lot of records because I haven't been recording anything for myself. Everything has been reference tracks.
Yeah.
Like, everything. That's why a lot of this shit is one verse. And, you know what I mean, shit like that. Everything has been reference tracks. So it was actually like two joints on there that was supposed to be used for some of his artists. And 4 days before the project dropped, Universal hit me for a record up. For the Should've Been Me record.
Yeah.
And we tried to take it down and all this shit because they wanted it, but it was too late. It was already submitted through distribution and all that stuff. So everything's just reference trash, bro. Everything's up for the grabs. And whatever don't land by time is that time. I'm letting it fly. So
I know the fans was rocking with the project, though. Heavy.
Yo.
Heavy.
Surprisingly.
Heavy. Heavy.
Bro. Surprisingly, because it's been...
Why did it surprise you, though?
It's been a minute. I lack consistency. Okay. I'm working on it. Like, I'm definitely working on it. I'm finna go crazy, but I lack consistency. Like, I'm a believer of full bodies of work. Like, I don't want to just keep dropping singles. I want to give you a movie every time. You feel me? That's why I love Carl Thomas. That one album he had that really took off, you feel me, was crazy. Start to finish, skits. It was themed, everything. I want to give you a full body. I don't want to just keep dropping one record. You know what I mean? I want to give you a whole vibe. You feel me? So that's how I move. But clearly, I'm going to have to stop that shit. Because usually, I just drop one a year.
They need it, bro.
I know, yo. Because it's a lot of mid out here. So, you feel me? We got to get back to the gas, man. We got to.
So, do you have any other business ventures that we should know about?
I'm looking into a lot, but really just like, you know, about to start dropping merch and stuff like that.
Speaking of clothing.
Yeah.
I know you're a community man. Like you say, you do a lot of work in the community, especially like around the time of your mother's passing.
Yeah.
You know, and I see you do a lot of work with the DTLR, which is a community brand as well.
Yeah.
So can you speak about like y'all relationship and what y'all got going on? Because I see y'all work close hand in hand. Sponsorship deal, what's going on? Like, speak on that.
My manager, Sean Sees, is actually the head of music and marketing and management over at DTLR.
Okay.
So DTLR is the family, even beyond all that. You feel me? Like, Tierra Lanise, Fire, female, Muslim DJ, King Flexa, DMV ambassador for Ciroc, Diddy's right hand man. Just a lot, man. Like everything there. Just everybody is just, and it's crazy because my family grew up with a lot of them. So yeah. I'm the young nigga. You feel me? But they already was there. And my manager Sean Sees, actually, they had a company called Unruly, him and Scotty B, and they were doing a bunch of house music. House music and Baltimore club music they're the pioneers of it. You mm-hmm. feel me? So me being the new cat, pushing the sound and everything, and getting the help from the OGs, which is really unheard of. You feel, especially coming from Baltimore, it just all go hand in hand for real. So shout out to Unruly, Positive Vibes, DTLR. You know that's the family, man. I love DTLR. Make sure I go buy some shoes.
Facts, man. Shout out Mighty Smoke, man, here in Georgia. But look, man.
Oh, you know Smoke?
Man, I'm in tune.
Yo, Smoke is my dog.
I'm gonna have to let him see this video. Like, that's my big homie.
Bro, me and Smoke is definitely just talking about going to a cigar lounge.
Oh yeah, he love them cigars.
He love them. He don't even light them. He just chewed them up. I'm like, bro, you ain't
said that. I ain't said that, Smoke. I ain't said that.
You just spent $30 on that cigar. You gonna chew it? Really? Boy, you getting money, boy. Shout out my man Smoke, man. Yeah. Can't wait for him to open his barbecue.
Yeah, spot. You in tune for sure, man. Look, man, it seems like you're a big dude. You big on loyalty, man. What's some words that you live by?
The bottom is never the end. You know what I mean? In most cases, it's the beginning. I mean, anybody can get it. You feel me? It's what you going to do. Like, can you get it again? And what can you do if you lose it? You feel me? Like, I got it with 300, and then that situation folded and crumbled, you feel me? And they helped me with letting me release music or nothing for like 4 or 5 years, you feel me? And then, and that me, and like, in that 4 or 5 year span, XXL has brought me in for the freshman couple list 3-4 times. I just got out of the contract. And I'm dropping music, and people are still tuning in. Name is still remaining relevant, still moving, still doing TV. You know what I mean? Shit like that. Like, getting it ain't nothing. It's losing it and then trying to find your way again. That's really the thing, man. And that's pretty much it, man. Just the bottom, rock bottom is never the end. And can you get it after you already had it?
For sure, man. Look, so we're nearing the end of the show, man. On this show, it's called Hood Scholars. And on Hood Scholars, we got this segment. It's called Open Letters to the People.
Yeah.
So on Open Letters to the People, that is the time for you, you know, to talk to your fan, you know, talk to your haters. Or you can even write yourself a letter to come back and look at later on. But with all that being said, the platform is now yours.
Okay. Open letter. If you ain't got credit, work on it. If you got a relationship, work on it. If you got a dream, work on it. If your motivation doesn't really motivate you, work on it. If you got nothing to work on, work on it. You know what I mean? That goes for me, my kids, the haters. Like, I need all of y'all. You feel me? You need all of us. You feel me? Just work on everything. Every day, put something towards your dream. It'd rather be you tweet your music out, post it on Instagram, you feel me, or you just reach out to anybody. The worst they can say is no. Except me, I say fuck no. That's the worst I can say. You feel me? But just keep going. Somebody in the world needs you. You feel me? They might not got the same exact story as you, but something that you've been through or you survived is going to help them make their lives a lot better. And just keep praying. That's it.
Hey, man, that's 100, man. You heard it here first with myself, Law the Outlaw. Let these people know where they can follow you at real quick.
Hey, Real Tate Cobang on Instagram, RealTateKobang. I don't really fuck with Twitter like that. It just be a bunch of porn on there. But make sure y'all tap in. Rolling My Body out now on all DSPs. Remember featuring K-Camp coming soon. 28 shit.
Facts, man. Another episode of Hood Scholars in the books. Appreciate you, my dog.